Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and we're on our second week of looking at what the world calls the West Bank. And of right now we're at the point of disproving what has been said, that the Jews came and pushed out peoples who had been there for centuries and were thriving. And in fact, God had said when the Jews were gone, quote, "Your land shall be desolate," Leviticus 26:33. Mark Twain went there. You should read it. I laugh when I read this book because he's such a good writer. And he wrote in his book, Innocence Abroad, "The hallowed spot where the shepherds watched their flocks by night and where the angels sang, peace on earth, goodwill to men, is untenanted." No tenants are there. Nobody lives there by any living creature. "And the desert places around about them sleep in the hush of a solitude that is inhabited only by birds of prey and skulking foxes. The once fertile Jezreel Valley was a swampland infested with deadly mosquitoes." The Jezreel Valley crosses horizontally the mountains of Israel, which go up and down the spine. If you look at a map of Israel, even in the back of your Bible, you can see it. Now, this comes from a book by Carlo Savanto. I knew Carlo Savanto. He is a Finnish man who lived much of his lifetime in Israel. And if you ever see me where I change the punctuation in a certain passage in Peter, it's because Carlo Savanto, who did the Finnish translation of the Bible, told me it was a better way to do that. So anyway, she's quoting Carlo Savanto, who lived. He's Finnish, but he lived 40 years in Israel. And he wrote, "During the Turkish occupation, the flat land of Jezreel, in the middle of Israel, about 50 kilometers long and 10 kilometers wide, was so greatly infested with malaria that thousands of people died, especially during the time when no effective medicine to cure this disease was known. The Jews did a tremendously effective job of draining the Jezreel Valley, which the Bible calls the Valley of Armageddon, and where the decisive battle in the history of the world will be fought." Now back to Norma's comments. Sand smothered Israel's coastal plain. The mountains were barren, mounds of rocks. Because of the desolation, returning Jewish people could settle in most of the Holy Land without displacing anyone. Here, once again, we see God's foresight and wisdom. If this land had been well cultivated and well settled, there wouldn't have been room for the Jews to come here when the time came for God to return them to their own land. The Lord made promises to the mountains of Israel, Ezekiel 36. Israel will return. You will shoot forth branches and yield fruit. You will be tilled and sown. I will multiply the house of Israel on you. The cities will be inhabited. The ruins will be rebuilt. Israel will possess you. Ezekiel 36, 8 through 12. In the mid to late 19th century, increasing numbers of Jews began to return to the land. The barren land took the lives of many of the early settlers through sickness and overwork as they drained swamps and planted trees. In 1920, the League of Nations designated British-occupied Palestine as a homeland for the Jewish people. Jewish settlements created jobs. Arabic workers from neighboring lands were drawn to the area for jobs. As Jewish settlements grew, Arabic settlements grew up around them. The rise of Hitler caused more Jewish people to return to the land, but Muslim complaints and terrorism persuaded England to reduce the number of Jews allowed to return at a time when more than 6 million needed to escape Nazi extermination camps. In 1948, Israel became a state. For the first time in 2,000 years, Jews could return to the land unhindered. Since then, millions of Jewish people have returned. Return from Ethiopia. Now remember, God's word said they were scattered to the four corners of the earth, and he would bring them home from there. Even if they were in any parts of heaven, he'd bring them home. Return from Ethiopia. In 1991, almost 15,000 Ethiopian Jews were airlifted into Israel in 2 days. They called it Operation Solomon. Ethiopians managed to come to Israel by crossing the wastelands of Africa on foot to Sudan. Edna Yeholashet of Ethiopia gave this account to the Jerusalem Post magazine as reported on May 22, 1992. Edna Yeholashet's eldest sister, simply disappeared one day in 1984. She had left Ateya village to attend school and didn't return. She never said goodbye. The youth of her neighborhood started disappearing. It was always without saying goodbye. At the age of 14, when all the children my age had left the village, I decided to go too, Edna said. I told my mother, I can't be the only Jew in my class. The non-Jews attacked me. She was unhappy at the thought of leaving, but she had to fulfill the dream of seeing Jerusalem. The group left at night. All walking had to be done at night. During the day, they hid in holes and caves. The heat was intolerable, and their water soon ran out. They came to a village to restock, but were recognized as Jews and had to flee for their lives. The guides told us to escape over a high mountain because the villagers wanted to kill us. To my dying day, I'll never forget how we ran. Another time, robbers armed with axes tried to attack them, and they had to hide from ravenous lions. But the worst nightmare was her feeling that I would never see my mother again. On the last day, Edna fainted. They had been hiding in a blazing hot cave. She and a friend went to seek shade under a tree. The guides told us that in 1 hour we would reach the refugee camp in Sudan. So we washed with our last water. Then we heard that it would take another day. When we came to the tree, there were 5 bodies covered with leaves. The stench was unbelievable. I wanted to lie down and die too. I fainted. The next day they stumbled, famished and dehydrated, into the Red Cross camp in Sudan. After 7 months, and for the first time in her life, Edna boarded a plane and landed in Israel. She was reunited with her mother and brother just before Operation Solomon. And today, the family is scattered throughout Israel. That was from Ethiopia. From Morocco. From North Africa, more than 300,000 Jews have crowded into Israel since 1948. Almost 250,000 of them arrived from what is now Morocco, where Jews have lived since 586 BC. Tunisia. Of 105,000 Jews in 1948 in Tunisia, 50,000 immigrated to Israel. Iraq. There were more than 130,000 Jews in Iraq in 1947. At this time, all Iraqi Jews who went to Palestine and did not return would be tried in absentia as criminals. Those who were tried in absentia were sentenced to hang or to serve extended prison sentences. In 1949, all bank accounts held by Jews were frozen. Palestinian Arabs, many militantly anti-Jewish, were given the Jewish public buildings and the vacant former living quarters of Jewish escapees. In 1950, Iraq enacted a law that allowed Jews to leave for good. The Jews left there, accumulated holdings behind. And within the first 3 years of the law, most of them were flown to Israel, with the Iraqi government taking a handsome share of the profits produced by the flights. Between 1969 and 1973, at least 17 Jews were hanged in a public square. 26 others were slaughtered in their homes or in Iraqi prisons. As of 1982, most of Iraq's Jewry had found refuge in Israel. When Israel became a nation, it became even more hard in these Islamic states. Their treatment was terrible, and they became refugees from those lands, fleeing them to get to the newly established homeland that God promised to bring them to. Egypt. In Egypt, when the Six-Day War began, Jews were arrested and held in concentration camps. where they were beaten and whipped, deprived of water for days on end, and forced to chant anti-Israel slogans. By 1970, these Jews had escaped the country. Egypt, according to the officer in charge of the internment camp, had no place for Jews. Syria. Now, as I'm reading these nations, think about the judgments that have even already started in these places. Syria. In Syria, in early 1947, only 13,000 Jews remained. Thousands more Jewish refugees had fled, many of them covertly. And the Syrian government, according to the New York Herald Tribune, April 14, 1947, launched an investigation into the disappearance of some 17,000 Syrian Jews since the last government census. Yemen. Nearly 50,000 Yemenites, and oh, I do love this, these people that came from Yemen. They had been sent away in the time of Solomon. They have some of the old songs, the ancient melodies. They're very musical people, very beautiful people. Really, you're not supposed to have favorites, but they're kind of, the Yemenites are kind of my favorites. And I like their food. You know, Jared, how we go there and eat in that Yemenite restaurant? Nearly 50,000 Yemenites who had never seen an airplane were airlifted to Israel in 1949 and 1950. Since the book of Isaiah promised they shall mount up with wings as eagles, the Jewish community boarded the eagles contentedly. To the pilot's consternation, some of them lit a bonfire aboard to cook their food. They took out all the seats in the airplane, and some of them, they said that they got on a plane and they traveled like 500 miles or more, but they really traveled 2,000 years. These accounts of the exodus of Jewish people from Muslim countries are only a tiny glimpse of the entire picture of the return of Israel. The complete story would fill many volumes. The most spectacular return to the land began when the Soviet Union suddenly collapsed. For many years, Jewish people, called refuseniks, struggled for the right to leave Russia to live in Israel. Many were imprisoned. The breakup of the Soviet Union freed them, and hundreds of thousands of Jews were to realize their dreams of living in Israel. It is written in Jeremiah 23:7-8, "The days are coming, saith the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." The return from the north was prophesied 2,500 years ago. 1 million from the former USSR have arrived in Israel. An additional million are expected. They've really come by this time. The Lord said, "Behold, I will bring the children of Israel from the north country. A great throng shall return." Flights arranged by the Jewish agency arrived daily, bringing them home. When the walls fell, I saw them. Oh, how wonderful to watch the Word of God fulfilled. This is Billy Brim, inviting you to come back with us tomorrow. Shalom and shalom until then.